Hello, my name is Patrick Wilson. I'm a meteorologist intern with the National Weather Service in Blacksburg, Virginia. All right, we're ready to start the upper air balloon preparations here. I've got a latex balloon. It's got 1,500 grams of helium in it. And I've started what we call a stream train going all the way down. I've got our parachute here because eventually the balloon's going to get so far up, it's going to burst. You need something to help that song get to the ground without plowing into somebody, so we got that. And we got about roughly 80 feet of string that's stretching out here into the lot, and we will put the song at the very end of it tied up there. The reason we need that much string is because as the balloon's going up, you can get air currents that are going in around it, behind it, get little eddies and swirls. That's gonna cause some false temperature readings. We don't want that, so we move it further back. I'll be getting to the SON a little bit. That's the instrument that actually measures everything. This is all just the manual labor, getting the equipment set up. Here's the actual Raywind SON. It's got a GPS sensor in the bottom of it. Right here's the temperature sensor sticking out. Don't wanna touch it, obviously. We're gonna have a humidity sensor right here. Don't wanna touch that either. And there's also a pressure cell buried in here. And all those variables are gonna be used to help measure the temperature, the pressure, and humidity. This thing will also determine the wind. We're able to figure it out by simply tracking the GPS from here, and as the latitude and longitude changes, we can figure out what's the wind direction and speed. Every second this thing is sending us data. Every second. We have a battery that we're going to soak. All right, that's 2 minutes. That means this battery is all soaked up and ready. Since this thing's gonna burn up and be hot to the touch, we're gonna stick this in a plastic bag to seal it off and keep it away from the rest of the SON. Now I just stuck it into the battery compartment of the SON, and now we're ready to connect it together here. Gonna now check and see if we got our signal here. We have the computer that's now looking at the signal, the frequency. We actually tune this thing to a specific frequency for the flight so we can listen to it. It's only certain frequencies. They're all around the world. They're set at 1676 megahertz, and we got a few other spare ones. If, say, we launch one, something goes wrong, we got to put up a second one. And then this is just our signal strength. So we got the signal. I'm letting it go for a few minutes here. See, we're just waiting for the battery to warm up, get the SON warmed up, make sure everything's okay. Because right now, I'm going to eventually start the baseline. We have to make sure that the SON, before we even launch it, is meeting specifications for its accuracy. Mm-hmm. Right here is an actual barometer, and it's giving us the pressure, and we're going to compare side by side and make sure they have to be within 5 hectopascals. If it's not, I got to take that SON back, reject it, and get another one. That's our radar there. Everything you can see, the snow showers coming through here. This is actually our dual pole radar too. So you can see, it's actually detecting the blue and the pink here so that there's snow and ice crystals because we're below freezing. But even though we have lots of other data, such as airplanes, when you're taking off and landing, they're giving us instruments. They're being like the weather balloon stuff that's going up and down in a glide path. We have surface data, we have satellites that can infer the data from temperature and all those things. And yet, of all the types of information we can use now for data, still the only number one way to get information about the atmosphere in three dimensions is these weather balloons. Even though it's old-fashioned and it's been done for over 100 years, this is still the best way to get weather information. The weather balloon data is by far the best indicator of the atmosphere, and it's what really gives the information for these models. In fact, you all saw the advantage of that in Sandy. We did upper air launches every 6 hours at request of the Hurricane Center. That helped from the models being, oh, it's going to hit New Jersey or it's going to go completely out to sea, to now all of them finally narrowed in with more data, plus they were sending in drop sons and other information, getting weather day around the storm to figure out and narrow all the dot models in to say it's going to hit New Jersey and be confident on it. So the upper air information is that important. Every morning and evening somebody's doing this here at all the weather service offices that do upper air. Every morning and evening. We can even request special soundings if we need to for severe weather, hurricanes, anything that the senior forecasters feel that we need some more data or something's critical. Mixed precip, tornado outbreak, you name it. The only time we won't launch these weather balloons is during a thunderstorm. Pretty obvious reason. Be out in the parking lot holding a big 5 to 10 foot high balloon over your head in the middle of nowhere. You don't want that. You're an instant lightning rod. And furthermore, the data becomes really turbulent and noisy because there's so much going on. It doesn't reflect the large scale picture. So that's two reasons why we'll never launch in a thunderstorm, even if we have to miss the flight. All right, so it's waiting on us. Put in our wind speed, the antenna and the elevation, because I want to point the antenna to where the balloon's going to go. And we're set. But you can definitely hear the wind, though. And it gets cold out here. These balloons have actually ended up as far away as Richmond, Virginia when they come down. They can go a long way. But of course, during the summer when there's no wind, we've actually had one balloon come down right beside us in the parking lot. So it just depends on what the winds are doing. This thing is completely at the mercy of the wind, which is why we're able to get the wind speed and wind direction just by tracking where it goes. We do stop tracking it once it bursts. We don't follow it all the way to ground. I don't know why, though. We could. That's the sound of the Ravensson signal. You hear that first bit? That is the GPS signal. That ring at the end is the PTU data, pressure, temperature, and humidity. All right, so we got our balloon. We're gonna take this C-clamp off here. It was holding it in there. I'm gonna start to jiggle this up, the nozzle, where it was, we had inflated it. Now the only thing holding it right now is this nail where I've got it down here in the floor, but I'm holding on to it too. I want to tie this up, and that's what the last piece of string is doing right there, you see here. So I'm going to tie this up, and that way this thing won't leak at all. I don't want to send up a leaking balloon. Boy Scout knots, that's all I'm doing. Once I let go of this balloon and it sails off, I've got no control. None. This is completely at the mercy of the atmosphere. So I want to make sure everything stays together as much as possible. Alright, there's our parachute, our balloon, and we're going to head outside. Hold on like tight. Oh, like that, for that reason. Yeah, thank you, wind. I'm going to give you a little warning. You're in the wind side. You might want to come over here, right behind the balloon. Because I'm going to let go, and it's going to take off. And I mean literally, take off. Ready?
Ready?
3, 2, 1. And now, there's that. There it goes. And there goes our balloon and our sun on the way up into the stratosphere. Do we still have the signal? Yes. Well, we've got the launch underway, and I'll be heading back into the office to go back and monitor the flight. From here, it'll be just watching the day and make sure everything's working out before I send it off to the Washington, D.C. and the models to crunch the numbers. And right now, there's 92 other sites in the United States. They're just doing what I've done right now. And all this data will be showing up in your weather forecasts probably in the next few hours. It doesn't take that long.